So today we are taking up the big topic of karma. And we have an expert with us today. I know you met Sister Shilu the other day. She's here again with us, and we have a full, probably she will speak until about 11:15, but because this is such an interesting topic, and because each of us have really personal, specific questions about how karma works in our life, Shilu Didi has agreed to stay until 12. So we will have questions and answers, probably starting at 11:15, and then you come and go as you wish, but it will be a wonderful opportunity to ask questions about this karma philosophy to someone who has been studying it a very long time. So how does that sound? Good. Okay. And possibly this will generate more questions than you had when you began, and that's okay too. So I would like to formally and officially introduce Shilu Didi. She's been with the Brahma Kumaris studying for 60 years. I'm not yet 60, so that's a long time. And she's been dedicated, like surrendered, given her life, given up everything she had to be only in service, godly service, for 50 years. And she's been living in this complex of Madhuban. She lives in Pandavabhan, where you will visit tomorrow. And she's been living there for 43 years. So this is her life. She's visited 75 countries. And I can say as a recipient, as a host, when Sister Shilu came to Halifax, it's the sign. Halifax is a very small place in eastern Canada. There's all of 10 of us, you know, in our center. But when Shilu Ben came, the sign of a good yogi is that they float into a place, they live there graciously and royally for 2 days, and they float out. Mm-hmm. And they leave a big impact, but not of the kind we think normally when we have guests. You know, the big impact is the house is a mess and you're really looking forward to having your house back. It's the opposite. She slides in, she leaves this amazing fragrance for 2 days, and then she leaves. And you don't miss her, but you feel the energy that she left behind. So I have a great deal of respect for Sister Shilu, and we're very fortunate to have her here today. So thank you for coming, Dee Dee.
Thank you, Sister Judy. A very good morning to all of you. Good morning. You already said Om Shanti, so now good morning. Because I'm meeting you today first of all this morning. As the topic for today is the law of karma. So let us understand the very meaning of this word karma. Karma is a Sanskrit word, and literally the word karma means action. Any type of action is a karma. Or you can say in grammatical words, any verb is an action, is karma. Sitting, eating, walking, sleeping, drinking, talking. Yes. We do all these actions whole day. So we say that this world is a field of action. And in this field of action, we are all actors playing our respective roles, which we call in a spiritual language as actions. So literally, karma means an action. But if you take it in a broad spectrum, it is not just action, but it is also a reaction. And we say that as Newton's law of third law of motion, which says for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. For every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now this is very easily understood. You must have seen in the art gallery there is an interesting toy type. There are five balls hanging against a beam, and you just take one ball and hit it hard towards the other balls. What happens? Then the last ball goes outside with that same speed and then comes back to the balls. So action and reaction are equal and opposite. And then it hits, and then this ball goes again outside, again it goes back and hits. So action and reaction are equal and opposite. Now this we can understand in karma philosophy, that action and reaction are equal and opposite. That is what we say in spiritual language, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you sow a mango seed, you will reap a mango tree. If you sow an orange seed, you will get an orange tree. If you sow a thorn, you will get a tree of thorns. If you sow wheat, you get back the harvest of wheat. So whatever you sow, that you reap. Now this is a very simple thing to understand. But karma philosophy is not so simple. It's very easy to say that you sow an apple seed and you reap an apple tree. Of course, it means whatever is the action, accordingly is the reaction. But then, in karma, it's not equal and opposite. It's definitely opposite. You reap the same, but it's not equal. You sow only one seed. And how many fruits you get? Is it just one fruit? So many fruits. When you cut a fruit, maybe you can count the number of seeds in that fruit. Sometimes you have even seedless fruits. So you can count the seeds in one fruit. But when you sow one seed, can you know how many fruits you are going to get from that? Can you know? So again, the second law of karma is one action, one seed, but many fruits. Maybe of that same seed, but many fruits. The third principle in this law of karma is that sometimes, you know, when we do any action, the reaction is immediate. But here in karma, action is now, but reaction can be after years. It's not immediate. Huh? Is it immediate? No. In the earlier days, they used to say that a mango seed, if it was sown by the grandfather, then the tree would bear mango fruit only in his grandson's time. The grandfather will never be able to reap the mango because it used to give fruit after a long, long time. Well, not nowadays. Now we have hybrids. But in the earlier days, it used to be said, grandfather sows a mango seed and grandchild reaps the fruit. So, in sowing those seeds and reaping fruits, I sow, you can reap, he sows, I can reap. It's fine. But where law of karma comes, it's not like that. If I sow, I will have to reap. No one else can reap for me. I tell you a very interesting joke on this. There was something written outside the restaurant. And what was written to attract people? Nowadays you have sale, 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 you know, to attract people so that they can come and buy. So this was something very attractive written outside the restaurant. And what was written? Eat to your heart's content, and you won't have to pay for what you have eaten. Your grandchild will come and pay for it. You don't have to pay for it. Your grandchild will pay for it. So somebody read that and came in the restaurant, had a lot of food to his heart's content, and after he had finished, a bill came to him. This is a bill for you. And he was surprised. He said, well, it's written outside, you eat to your heart's content, your grandson, your grandchild will pay for it. But then waiter said, well, this is your grandfather's bill. Did you get the joke? He forgot that even he's a grandson of someone. So, well, it could be that his grandfather must have eaten and now the grandson is paying, and maybe this bill his grandson will pay for it. But this does not go for karma. It's not that my grandfather did some action, I will have to pay for that. I will pay only for what I did. No one else can pay for me. And that is what the meaning of it is. As you sow, so shall you reap. No one else will reap for you. You will reap your own seed of karma. And in karma, it's not just actions. It's also our words. What we speak, that's also part of action. Very often we may speak an ill word to somebody. Oh, you ass. Oh, you donkey. You know, like that. Oh, you stupid. He'll say, okay, you're calling me stupid. You are this. You maybe spoke only one bad word to him and he will speak 10 to you. And then you get angry with him and you speak another 10. He spoke 10 and he will speak 50. You know? And this can go on and on and on. So action and reaction are not equal and opposite anymore. So even words come in action, but then the reaction is much more than the action. I spoke only an ill word to me and he slapped me. I just spoke. The words, just words. They mixed in the atmosphere and finished. Nobody has heard them except myself and that one. But then he'll slap me. And then I'll get so angry that I'll take a gun and shoot him. It happens. And then it'll be a court case. And I'll be sent to prison. Because I killed somebody. And how it all started? Just with one word. So action and reaction are not equal and opposite. And therefore karma philosophy has to be understood very, very deeply. It's not so simple. And supposing you sow a seed in a soil, no doubt. But if that soil is not fertile, it doesn't have enough manure, it has not been watered, it has not been plowed, then even if your seed is very good, it's not going to give you the fruit. First of all, that soil has to be plowed with good manure, you know. A lot of nurturing has to be done of that soil. Only then you put the seed. And then you have to keep on watering it also. If you don't water it, it will get dried. And once the leaves start coming out, you have to protect it also. You just can't leave it like that. Because animals, birds, insects, they can come and eat it. So you have to be very, very careful that what you have sown, you must have a fence around so that it's protected well. And then, after the seed bears fruit, you should not eat the raw fruit. You have to wait for that fruit to ripen. Because if you take the raw fruit, then what will happen? It's not sweet enough. And even if you pluck it, it's unripe, it's bitter, maybe it is too sour, maybe it's too hard, and it goes to waste. So you need a lot of patience to allow that fruit to ripen. And if it ripens on the tree, it is the best fruit. Therefore, a lot of patience is necessary. Nowadays, they pluck it quickly and then ripen it with some chemicals, and then, you know, that spoils or ruins the fruit. Okay, if it's all a lot of patience, the fruit has ripened, and now it's time to pluck the fruits. You pluck them, put them maybe in a basket, and then after you have those fruits, you have to eat them. What if you don't eat them, leave them like that? They will rot away, no? Eat them and share them with others. And then whatever seed you get, you can sow again. So, this process can go on and on. And in India, we have a saying, I don't know how would you say it in English, but they have this saying, Aam ke aam, gutli ke dam. That's a Hindi word. Aam, a mango, has its own weight. No, I mean, it has its own price. But then, even the seed is precious of that. It's not just eating the fruit. That seed also has its value. You can sow that seed again, and you'll get another tree. So not only is the fruit of value, but even the seed is of value. It is meant to be sown again. So every action you do is not just an action. It can be recurring. It can go on and on and on and on. And therefore we have to understand that not only my action, but then with whom I am doing that action. What are my feelings at that moment? What are my thoughts at that moment? Because even those thoughts are part of action. What are you thinking at that moment? What are your feelings at that moment? What is your attitude at that moment? What is your behavior like at that moment? All that accounts in action, in karma. And accordingly will be the result. And what is the situation at that moment? What is the atmosphere like at that moment? I give you a small example. Supposing you go in a desert, very barren land, nothing around, no rocks, no mountains, no trees, nothing, just dry desert area. And you make a loud noise, sound. Loudly you shout. Will you get any result? Will you? Even you can't hear what you have said, because it has just gone into thin air. It cannot come back because there are no barriers to allow that sound to come back. No rocks, no trees, nothing. And you can't hear your own sound. But on the contrary, if you go to a place which has a dome, you know, in India there is a very interesting place in South India. It's called the Big Dome. And you just, you know, put your watch against the wall on one side of the dome. On the other side you can hear the tick, tick, tick of that watch. So sensitive it is, the echo. It echoes and echoes and echoes and echoes. Or even if you make some, even a small noise, small sound, it will echo in the whole atmosphere. So action is the same. You shout it. But you shout it in a desert where there is no return. It just goes out into thin air. You will not be able to hear your own voice too. And you just spoke only in a dome, and you can hear it echoing and echoing and echoing again and again. So it's not just your action, but it is also where you perform that action. In front of whom you perform that action. Now having understood all this, we say that to understand it in a very, very simple way, we say there are three laws in karma. One law is, as you sow, so shall you reap. This is a simple law. As the action, so the reaction. And the second law is, you sow one seed, but fruits are many, much more than what you sow. Third law would be, the seed and the fruit are not simultaneously. It takes time to get the fruit. Sometimes it's simultaneous, but sometimes it's not. So it depends on the doer and also with whom you are doing. So both are connected. For example, I take a little finger, my finger, and I just draw a line in thin air. I can't see that line. It has been drawn in that thin air, but that thin air, you can't see air, and therefore you can't see the line also. But although the action has been performed, that I've drawn a line in thin air. Now I take the same finger and I draw a line in water. What will happen? It will form a line, definitely. But then it will disappear. It's like throwing a stone. A ripple will be created, but afterwards it will finish for some time. I take my finger and draw a line on sand. You know, you go on the seashore and you have the sand there, and many people draw things on the sand. So on water it stayed for a while, which you could see it, but in air you didn't see it. But on sand it remains for some time till somebody puts his foot on it, or there's a strong breeze or whatever. Only then that line will go, otherwise it can remain there. But then I take some pointed needle, pointed thing, and with my hand, fingers, I draw a line on stone. Now what will happen? That action has happened, that line has come on the stone, but then it will remain for years and years and years. So air, water, sand, stone, it's so different, isn't it? Although it's the same action. Now this is how we understand karma. You do an action, but sometimes the result comes instantly. You abuse somebody and he abuses you. Okay. And then you forget, he also forgets. It's finished. But sometimes it's not so easily forgotten. Depends on what type of person he is. He can take revenge after many, many years too. He will not forgive you so easily. And therefore we have to be very, very careful, very, very careful of what we are doing. Why? Because the reaction can come. Maybe not now, but tomorrow, day after tomorrow, after many, many years. And if you believe in reincarnation, we say that even after many births, it can come. But to understand in a simple way, we say, you should do what you expect others to do unto you. Whatever you want from others, you do the same. What goes around, comes around. Don't forget that. If you give respect, you will get respect. Don't expect respect if you are abusing somebody. If you want respect, give respect. Don't ask for respect. If you want happiness, give happiness. And you will get happiness. But if you give sorrow and you expect the other one to give you happiness, he will not. So you will get only what you give. As what you sow, that you reap. So this is again a very, very simple way of understanding law of karma. You should give what you want another one to give to you. If you want respect from someone, don't ask for it, but just give. If you want love from someone, don't ask for love, but give love. If you want happiness, don't ask for it, but just you give. In giving, there is receiving. You will not receive until you give. So this is a simple way of understanding karma. So now what do we wish to receive from others? We don't wish to receive sorrow from others. We don't wish to receive unhappiness from others or hatred from others. We wish to receive love, happiness, you know, all that. Then we have to give. And somebody may say, well, I don't have it. We say, of course you have it. You are an embodiment of happiness. You are an embodiment of love. You have it with you, and therefore give it because you have it. You have the fruits, share with all. And by sharing, you are not really going to lose anything. It's going to come back. You know, that is why it is said, happiness shared is happiness doubled. And sorrow shared is sorrow halved. If you have sorrow in you and you are sharing your feelings with somebody, he can help you. But if you don't share, how can he help you? And therefore, sorrow shared is sorrow halved. And happiness shared is happiness doubled. You're not losing your happiness if you are sharing happiness with others. So this is how we understand karma philosophy. But then, it's not necessary that you will get it at that moment. Some people say, well, I give a lot of happiness to everyone. I don't give sorrow to anyone. But why do people give me sorrow? I don't give sorrow to anyone. I never say anything bad to anyone. I never think bad about anyone. I don't harm anyone. I'm very, very careful with what I do, what I say, what I think. I don't really give sorrow to anyone. But why do people give me sorrow? Now here we say, there are two things to understand. One is that even if he's trying to give you sorrow, why do you take it? Nobody can forcibly give you sorrow. Anything somebody's trying to give and you won't take it, he can't force you to take it, can he? Even a small child you can't force. A child doesn't want to eat. The mother is running after the child, come on child, please eat, 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 you know, a morsel of food, take, 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 and the child is running away. And she's after the child and she puts in his mouth, opens his mouth and tries to put that food in his mouth. But he doesn't want to eat. Can't the mother force him to eat? Or even if she puts in his mouth, but he has to swallow himself. His mother is not going to swallow for him the food in his mouth. So he has to swallow, but if he doesn't want to swallow, he'll throw it out. He will not take it because he doesn't want it. So you cannot forcibly give anything to anyone. That's what we say in management. You can't teach anyone else management. You can only teach yourself. Self-management, we say. You can't change anyone. You can only change yourself. Yes, you can help him to change by changing yourself. You know, the mother, if she does, the son, the child is not eating, okay, she'll eat. And the child is seeing that mother is eating. You want? Okay. Then the mother will, the child will say, yes, I want to eat. But she can't force him otherwise. And therefore we say, nobody can forcibly give you sorrow if you won't take it. There's a very interesting true example of Buddha, Mahatma Buddha. It goes that once, he was to go to a village. And people told him, don't go to that village, there's somebody there who doesn't like you. Don't go there, please, because if you go there, he will abuse you, he will, you know, say ill words to you. You know, please don't go there. He said, doesn't matter, I will go there. And he went there and that person saw him and started abusing Buddha in that village. And he went and abusing, you know, for such a long time. He just spoke abusive words. But Mahatma Buddha was unaffected, unperturbed, undisturbed, totally silent, totally quiet. And after speaking for half an hour, all the ill words, dirty words, he stopped. How long can he go on speaking? You know, how many words he'll have in his dictionary to say ill words to somebody? And then when he stopped, Buddha asked him, can I now ask you a question? He said, okay, what do you want to ask? You know, with that anger he spoke. He said, supposing someone tries to give something to someone and the other one doesn't take it. So with whom will that thing remain? And that person got more angry. What a silly question. Of course it will remain with the one who was trying to give to the other one. Then Mahatma Buddha said, well, that's it. Whatever you tried to give me for half an hour, I did not take anything. So should I react? If somebody acts, and I take it, only then I'll react, no? If I don't take it, there's no need to react. If somebody calls me foolish or stupid, whatever. But I don't accept that. And I have that self-respect, what we learn in meditation, you know? Keep your self-respect, your self-esteem. And what is my self-respect? We learn about soul consciousness. We learn about God consciousness. My self-respect is that I am a peaceful soul. I am a lawful soul. I am a blissful soul. I am a happy soul. I am a powerful soul. So I will give what I have. Let him give what he wants to give. A small an urchin, a boy, a young small child, he throws a stone at a mango tree. But then mango tree doesn't say, oh, you threw a stone at me, I will throw 10 stones at you. No. What will that mango tree do? Give him a mango fruit. The tree was hurt by a stone, but then that fruit fell down. So this was the reaction, or you can say, of that fruit tree. Because that's what the tree has. It has mangoes. So I should give what I have. Let him try to give what he wants to give. But if I don't want to take that, I need not take. I will give what I have. And if he doesn't want to take, it's up to him. But you cannot say, why did you give me sorrow? Why did you take sorrow? So nobody can forcibly give you sorrow. And also nobody can forcibly give you happiness. You know, parents try to make their children happy by giving them toys, you know, whatever they ask for, the parents fulfill their wishes. But the children are never happy. They want more and more and more. That selfishness is there, that greed is there. So how much can parents satisfy their children? There's everything for one's need, but not for one's greed. So the child will never be happy, even if the mother thinks that I want to make him happy, because of greed inside that child. It happens. And therefore, it has to depend on that one also to whom we are trying to give. How is that soil? How is that soil? And if somebody is giving me sorrow, my soil is very strong. And if I don't want to take, I can just stop it. I don't have to take the sorrow. Now it can be the other way around too. I don't really mean to give sorrow to anyone, just to someone, for example. I have such good feelings for that person, always having good wishes for that person, always, pure feelings, good wishes, high hopes. And I want to be friendly with that person. But that person is always suspicious, very doubtful, angry person. So I'm trying to be good, but he's not being good with me. So I say, but I'm so good with him. Why is he not good with me? And that person is complaining about me that I'm not good with him, in spite of me being good with that person. So I feel sad again. I'm so good with that person. I have such good feelings for that person. But why does he think like that? So why does he think like that? It's a big question all the time in us. Now this is karma to understand. If he's thinking that I'm giving him sorrow, but I know I'm not giving him sorrow, I don't have any bad feelings for him, but he thinks that I'm giving him sorrow, it's not because of me. I'm really not giving him sorrow. But why is he feeling that sorrow? It is because of his karma, not mine. It's his own karma. He has his tendencies of getting angry, jealous, hatred, suspicion, suspiciousness, doubts. That is his problem. So I feel sorry for that person. Right? That's what you can do only, because he's not going to learn any lesson from you. It's not in his fate at that moment. So you feel sorry and nothing else you can do. But my job is to keep on having good wishes for that person. I have to check myself all the time. And even if we are blaming somebody else, for example, for anything, I'm blaming somebody else. You like that. But indirectly I'm pointing three fingers towards myself. Am I not? You are like that. But towards me, three fingers. You must change. You must do this first. Well, he should. Of course he should. He should change. But I should change threefold of what that person should change. Because three fingers are pointing towards me. And this is a very interesting. It is pointing towards God. God knows. He knows everything. So we say that you cannot change anybody else. You cannot satisfy anybody else because it is his karma also working with him. You can only change yourself. Now, according to all this, let us understand what type of karmas there are. We talk about good karma, we talk about bad karma. Actually, karma is karma. But why does it become bad or why does it become good? For example, I'm seeing through these eyes. Now, seeing is not bad. No, I'm looking at all of you. Is it bad karma? Definitely not. It is good karma. You still can't say. It is karma. I'm looking at you all, you're looking at me. But then, just looking at somebody will not decide what type of karma it is. It will depend on what are my feelings at that moment. What are my thoughts at that moment? So my thoughts and feelings also count a great deal in my actions. If my eyes are seeing just the physical appearance, maybe there's a physical attraction, then it can definitely be a bad action. But if I'm seeing and I'm seeing you as souls, you're all souls sitting here, all souls, children of one Supreme Father. It's such a beautiful feeling. It's a feeling of one, you know, family, children of God. We don't see anyone's color or caste or creed or religion or, you know, anything physical. But we are all souls, all alike. And this feeling really makes us so good. But all depends on my feelings. So action is an action. As I mentioned, this finger is one finger. On what am I performing that action also counts. Then what are my feelings? That also counts. Then with whom I'm doing, even that counts. All this comes inside karma. So to understand what is good karma, what is bad karma, we have to understand that what are my feelings at that moment. And on the basis of those feelings, the reaction will come to me. And therefore somebody may say, how do I know what is bad, what is good? One man's meat is another man's poison. That's the saying. Something which is food for me may be poison for you. Doctor says, don't take sugar because I'm diabetic. So I should not take sugar. It's harmful for me. But somebody has no sugar, doctor will tell him, take more sugar. So what is good action, to take sugar or not to take sugar? Again, it depends on the physical constitution. So how to discriminate between good and bad? For example, if I'm shooting somebody, I'm killing someone, definitely it's a bad action. I have no right to kill. I have no right to kill. Even a mother has no right to kill her own child. She may say, well, I've given him birth. I have a right, my child. No, I've given birth, so I can kill also. But no, she can give birth, but she cannot kill. No mother has right. She'll become a murderer if she kills her own child also. She's a murderer. She'll be sent to prison. And if you take someone's life, then you have to give your life for that. Life for life. What you give, what that you get back. You have to give your life. Either it is lifelong imprisonment or maybe it is, being hanged on the gallows. You have to give your life for that because you have taken someone's life. But then, what about the soldiers who are on the battlefield? Even they are given a gun to shoot the enemies. And if they say that killing is a sin, their not killing is a sin. There's this person in front of you, he's a terrorist, or he's your enemy. And you have been sent there to kill because you have to protect your countrymen. And there, instead of killing, he becomes his friend and tells them all the secrets of my side. Because I should not kill. But there, that will become a sin. So how to distinguish what is a good action, what is a bad action? Somebody may say, to speak lies is a sin. But sometimes it's not a lie, but it is the way to help that person. Now somebody a doctor has diagnosed someone with cancer, for example. And that person is asking the doctor, "Doctor, is it cancer? Because it's a very deadly disease." Now, should the doctor tell that patient straight away, "Yes, you have cancer," because he has? What will the doctor do? He'll be very, very patient. He'll say, "No, we are still diagnosing, we are still finding out. We can't say anything now. Don't worry, you'll be all right. He's trying to console that patient. Although the doctor has come to know that he has got cancer. But still he will console that patient. And then of course he has to be told, but he'll tell his family that this is it. Now make sure how you will tell him. It's up to you. To see his heart, whether his heart is strong to accept, because cancer can kill after many years. But if he has a weak heart and he is given some very tragic news, he can die of heart attack at that very moment. Cancer will kill him after 15, 20 years. It's not a big thing. Because his heart is very weak. So we have to understand. So speaking a lie is a sin, but you have to see the situation. Killing is a sin, but you have to see the situation. And therefore people ask, how to know what is good, what is bad? Now here, through spirituality, we get that understanding that any action done under the influence of body consciousness, ego, jealousy, hatred, anger, greed, you know, all these vices, that would become a sinful action. That would become a sinful action, definitely. But any action done under the influence of soul consciousness will become a good action. You know, many people question, why do you talk about soul all the time? Why? Just be good, no? But you cannot really be good if you are not soul conscious. If you are body conscious, you cannot be good. Because body consciousness leads to all these vices. And these vices become ultimately sinful actions. All the, you know, in the courts, all those who are in, you know, who have to be in the court for some or the other reason, it must be because of some vice. Lust also, sex lust. Somebody may say, this is natural. We say, it is natural if you are body conscious. But if you are a soul, if you are aware you are a soul, you will see everyone as a soul. And that's what we teach here. See everyone as a soul. All are souls. See everyone only at the forehead, between the two eyebrows. That's where you are. If you see between the two eyebrows of everyone, you'll feel so, I'll have such pure feelings for that person. But if you see below that, all the differences will come of the body also. Eye is different, you know. Blue-eyed, cat eyes, green eyes, you know. The pupils are different colors. Nowadays they have such contact lenses, different types of eyes. Like, you still go a little below that, then the big fat nose, thin nose, pointed nose, this nose. Then sometimes lips are so thick and so thin. It's, everyone's is different. Although we're all human beings, but still different. And further down, all more different. We say, golden, silver, copper, iron. It goes down. Golden is so pure. So we say, look at everyone only in the forehead. That's all. And you will see everyone as a soul. And what type of soul? A peaceful soul. I'm also a peaceful soul. You are also a peaceful soul. And we will see each other as peaceful souls. So where is anger? Anger comes only when I see someone's defects. But each one is a pure and peaceful and loving soul. I am that too. So where is the question of anger? So any action committed under the influence of any of his vices definitely becomes a sinful soul. And that's what we are seeing in courts today, all the crimes happening. Body consciousness is the cause of all that. The climax of anger, what we call as rape. Today it's become such a big problem, rape. The climax of lust is rape. The climax of anger is murder. The climax of greed is corruption. How much people need? How much do you need? How much does your stomach need? Do you need much? You have only one stomach. No, you don't have even two stomachs to save something for tomorrow or day after tomorrow. No, you'll feel hungry after 8 hours again. So how much do you need? There's everything for one's need, but not for one's greed. But today people, why are they so greedy? How much they want? And therefore we say that greed leads to corruption. It's not the need. Needs are not many. But greed can be endless. Attachment leading to so much of sorrow. When somebody dies, so much sorrow. Well, that person is not going to come back. But we can't forget that one. We have to forget. We have to learn to forget. We have to learn to forgive, and we also have to learn to forget. Because if we can't forgive, also then we are giving sorrow to ourselves. If we can't learn to forget, then also we are giving sorrow to ourselves. Because that is either attachment, or it is hatred, or jealousy, or any type of vice will ultimately give me sorrow. So today the crimes in the courts, and then how many cases go on, it's all because of these vices. So now that Supreme Father Shiv Baba says, any action committed under the influence of any of these vices will become a soul, will become a sin. And therefore, before you perform any action, before you speak any word, before you even think, we say think before you think what you are going to think. Did you understand? Did you get it? Think before you think what you are going to think. If what you are going to think is not something good, don't think. If what you are going to say is not good, don't think even about it. Because if you think, you will say it in some time. And if you don't want to say it, why do you think about it? Very often we think something else and say something else. It happens. Inside you say, oh, I want him to die. But outside you say, oh, you are a very good person. Oh, you are so great. Yes. But then be careful. If you have thought inside that he should die, one day those words will come out from your mouth. Although you may try to hide them. But one day they will surely come. And therefore it is said, check your thoughts. For they will become words. Check your words, for they will one day become actions. Check your actions, for one day they will become your behavior, your habits. Check your habits, your behavior, for one day that will become your character. Check your character, for ultimately that will form your destiny. So what type of destiny do we want? What type of destiny? We want to be happy in life. We want to be peaceful in life. And if we are not able to check ourselves, then the reaction comes back to us. It may not go to the other person. What goes around comes around. We are seeing the result of that. The result is in the form of physical diseases, mental stress, financial problems, bad relationships. Otherwise, when we talk about happiness, we say happiness in these four fields. You know, how would you define success? Success is not just merely somebody being rich or somebody being wealthy, somebody traveling in aeroplanes and cars and having everything luxurious with him. That is success. No. Even if somebody gets a lot of money, lots of name and fame, but his physical health is not good, it's not success. We say half the life he spent on earning a lot of money, and then half the rest of the life he uses that money on his health, on his body, to get back that health which he had ruined by, in want of money. So health is more important than wealth. But character is even more important than health and wealth. That is why we say, if money lost, if wealth lost, nothing lost. Because we say wealth is like the dust on your feet, on your hands. You wash your hands, again they can get dirty. Again you have to wash your hands. So it's like dust coming on your hands and then it's going away and again coming back. You should never really get stressed if you lose money. Never get stressed. It'll come again. Don't worry. So if wealth lost, nothing lost. If health lost, yes, something lost. Because health doesn't come back very soon. We say it goes at bird speed and it comes back at ant speed, your health. Bird speed, so fast it will go, your health will go. But if you want to get back that same health, it will come only at ant speed. You have to be very, very careful to not allow your body to get any type of physical problem. Be very careful, People are told, walk carefully, because if you fall, you may break your leg. Again, you are in bed for 1.5 months. So be careful. So, but if wealth lost, okay, doesn't matter, it will come back. Health lost, something lost, it will come back after a long time. But if character lost, everything lost. Because it affects the soul. Health lost, it affects the body only. Wealth lost, it affects just the hands, that's all. You can earn and get back again. So very important. If character lost, everything lost, because it affects the soul, and that can go on. You may have to pay back whole life, and maybe if you believe in reincarnation, even in future lives, because it has affected the soul. So what is good action? Any action done in soul consciousness. If you see the other one as a soul, you'll have all good feelings for that soul. Your attitude towards that person will be seeing only goodness. And that leads to all values in life. And any wrong action or bad action is not just speaking lies or, something of that sort, but it is seeing the body, because that leads to vices. There are some people who say, I never tell lies. I never speak lies. We say in spiritual words, every moment I am speaking lies. That's why I'm not happy. Why am I speaking lies every moment? Because I'm really a soul. And I'm saying, I'm Mr. So-and-so, I am this, I am that, with ego. So if I'm talking about myself with ego, it is a very big lie. Because I'm really not that. I'm only a soul. Whatever I have is my physical introduction, which is always changing. Today I may be of this country, tomorrow I may change my citizenship and be of another country. You know? And this body is changing all the while. Every 10 years, all your body cells change. You are no longer the same 10 years ago what you were. Although you are the same, but still you are not the same, because physically things have changed. And therefore, but you are eternal. You are immortal. That is what you really are. That is the truth. So spirituality gives the meaning of truth in a different way. And science tells about truth in a different way. Science will say seeing is believing. Whatever you see, you believe that. Whatever you measure, you believe that. What you can't see, what you can't measure, you don't want to believe. And spirituality says what you see is all untruth. Can you accept that? Whatever you see is all untruth. This wall is here, you'll say it is truth. If I go and just, I can break my head if I go and hit it. It is truth. But spirituality says this is untruth. Why untruth? Because it's always changing. After 10 years, if you come and this has not been repaired, it will not be the same. Some wear and tear is always there. You meet somebody after 20 years, 30 years, complete change. The hair have grown grey, the teeth has fallen, maybe a stick in the hand. It can change. If it is changing, it is not truth. Truth is unchanging. It's like somebody speaking the truth. He will speak the same sentence from beginning till end. But if he is speaking lies, he is changing his statements. Supposing somebody has stolen and he is asked, did you steal? And he is speaking and he wants to hide that he stole. He said, no, I did not steal. Okay, one lie. Okay, then where were you at that moment? He will speak another lie. What were you doing at that moment? Another lie. Another lie. Another lie. So he'll have to remember how many lies he spoke and what lies he spoke. But if he's speaking the truth, he doesn't have to remember. The truth is truth. Truth is eternal. So as a soul, the truth is eternal. And I understand that. And my nature is peace. That is eternal. Nobody can take away my peace. Nobody can snatch away my peace. It is with me all the time. Because I am a peaceful soul. You are also a peaceful soul. So I see you as that peaceful soul. And my feelings are so pure for you. And these pure feelings is the truth for each other. And therefore, somebody says speaking lies is a bad action, a sin. But sometimes we say speaking the truth also could be a sin. No. So I have to make sure what I'm thinking. Very, very important. Somebody may say that stealing is a sin. We say actually, even to have attachment to your own belongings is a sin. Because you didn't bring these belongings, what you have today. You didn't have them when you were born. And you will not have them after you die. So how can you say that they belong to you? You didn't have them when you were born. Why did you? Will you take them when you die? They'll all remain here. This house of mine, so beautiful, you say, my house. But when you were born, you didn't have this house. And when you die, somebody else will come and stay in that house. You are gone. So where is it yours? So when you say my, it is attachment. And that's also like a sinful action. Because it's really not yours. What is yours is your karma. That's all. Nothing else is yours. Nothing else. So pay attention to that more than anything else. Because whatever I do, I will get back. So if somebody says, I never speak lies, but he's speaking lies because he's body conscious. Somebody says, I never steal, but he's stealing because he has attachment to what he possesses to. Somebody says, I never kill. We say, okay, that's good. But then you're killing your own soul. You know how we kill our own soul? We kill our own soul. Our thoughts are different. The inner voice is saying something different. We do something different. We become so guilty inside. The feeling of guilt is felt. This is like killing the soul. That guilt feelings is a very, very big sin we are doing because it is against our consciousness, our conscience. And if I do something against my conscience, is definitely killing my soul. So I should not do anything against my conscience because I'm a peaceful soul. So I should not do anything against peace. I have to be peaceful and let others be peaceful. Let bygones be bygones. Forgive and forget because each one's karma is different. I cannot interfere in their karma. I cannot change their karma. I will not reap their karma. The one who does, that one sows. I can only give my good wishes. That's all. Don't take the law in your hand, you know. It's not somebody slaps me and I go and kill him. No, I better not. But don't even slap him. Maybe some karma of the past, that's why he slapped you. So finish, karmic account finished. My good wishes for that person. Never take revenge. Never take revenge. Always think, if someone has done something wrong, okay, some karmic account of the past finished. It's like you taking debt from somebody and then he asks for it and you have to give back. So it's nullified. It is, you become neutral now. Otherwise the debt would be on your head and you have a burden on your head. So now burden is over. Somebody spoke ill words to you, you say my karmic account finished with that person. My good wishes, let him understand. I don't take that sorrow. Okay? You can ask some questions if you like. Yes? Pay inko mic dena? Yeah, idhar. Yeah. Yeah. You can stand up and speak.
Okay. In my belief, I have been learned that I have learned that we have I have different type of karma. There is individual karma, family karma.
Speak loudly.
Oh, you can't hear me now like that? Okay. Quel type de karma que tu avais dit? There is a kind of collective karma, individual karma, family karma. What do you think about all these type of karma that in my religion I have heard about?
Of course, family means we have some joint karmas, no? Family is because of that. Now a child is born in some family, some karmic account with that family, no? So everything, all these bonds are there because of karmic accounts. And when karmic account is finished, nobody is anyone's. Finished. Karmic account over, no relations also. All these are maybe relations because of karmic accounts. Somebody becomes my mother, my father, my friend, my husband, my wife, my child, my, you know, all these are karmic accounts. That is why we say that we should see everyone as a soul, then we will not be affected, that sorrow will not come. Because we are all guests on this world stage. We are all actors on this world stage. Everything has to be taken in a very unlimited way. Only then we can really be peaceful, contented and happy and satisfied in life. Otherwise, we are taking in sorrow all the time, giving sorrow to ourselves all the time. No one is really giving sorrow to anyone, but we are giving sorrow to ourselves. What about collective? It is there. Collective karma is also there. That's why we say some karma of the past which have brought us together. Definitely. Everything is karma. Everything is karma. And when karma is finished, even very close relationships no longer remain close because karma finished. So if we understand this way, there will never be sorrow at any moment. Okay, anybody else, please? Yes? You have, stand up and please. Stand.
Okay. Actually, I have two questions. I have an identical to this, and what does it mean in spiritual way? And are every soul is equal, although they have different karma?
Different karma. Every soul is a spiritual being. That's fine. Every soul in its original nature is peaceful, loving, and all these qualities. But each soul's karma is different. No two are alike. Each one's thinking different, behavior different, action different. Spiritually all alike as souls. But otherwise like an actor in a drama. Each actor has his own role to play. Even two actors can't play one role. One actor can play two roles, you know, but two actors cannot play one role. Even if they try to, the voice is a little different. The way of walking is a little different. The way of talking is a little bit different. The way of thinking is a little bit different. So each one is unique. Each one is unique. Children of the same parents, though they are from the same parents, still they are different. You know, the mother will say, oh, this child of mine very naughty, but this one very peaceful. Such a different. But both are souls. Both are the children of the same parent. Because souls are different. So each one's role is different. Part is different. That's why we say a variety drama. And this is the beauty of God's creation. Each one is unique. No two faces also alike. Even twins. You know, Joe and Michael, they are twins. Sometimes so difficult to know who's Joe, who's Michael. But if you go close, you know, then you can feel the difference. Now they say, yeah, one has a round glasses, the other one has little bit squarish glasses. Okay, then, but then even you forget who has round ones and who has squarish ones. But still, they are different. They are different, you know. I'm sure if you stay longer with them, you'll know the difference. Okay? So each one unique, each one special, each one different, but still all alike as souls. This is the beauty of God's creation. Yes, yes, sister?
This is her question actually. She's asking, how long should I continue good karma? What if I don't see the result? Should I continue doing the good karma or should I stop?
No, you should continue doing the good karma. Because if you stop, that means you will start doing bad karma again. Then when will you reap for those bad karma? Now you are reaping for whatever may be bad you had done in the past. But if you continue to do bad, it will be even worse. You do the good, then don't think of the result. Leave that to God. You do your best. Okay? That is the only answer. That's why we say a lot of patience is necessary. We need to have a lot of patience. Yes?
Om Shanti. You told we can kill our soul also. Would you please explain
it? Yeah, killing the soul does not mean physically killing.
Yes.
Killing the soul means like torturing oneself. Even like physically you torture yourself. So you are torturing the soul because giving so much sorrow to your soul. And when you are giving sorrow to your soul, you are losing all your spiritual strength. It's like everything getting dilapidated. You know, it's getting we are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker inside. Because internally there's so much of remorse, so much of sorrow, so much of, you know, feeling of revenge or maybe a lot of uneasiness. So that is making the soul become very weak. It's not strong. You cannot face any situation with determination then. That is the thing. Yeah.
Yes, yes I've got three small points or questions. The first is, you know, if I hadn't been attracted to my wife, I would never have met her.
If I'm attracted?
No, if I hadn't been attracted to my wife, I would never have met her. And I certainly don't consider that a sin.
No, so, it's not like that.
You said physical attraction, so of course, that's normally how you meet your spouse or whatever.
No, physical attraction, not in that way. Physical attraction means you're seeing her. Okay, she's your wife. Fine. It's all right.
Yeah, but she wasn't the wife when I was physically attracted to her first.
No, brother. Let me explain. Yeah. It is there, definitely. But then she has her own privacy, no? You cannot have a hold over her all the time. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we have a hold over somebody. You have to do only what I say. You have to do only what I do, you know? You have to be only like I am. That's not possible. You have to give her some privacy. You have to give her her own way. You have to give her. If you are not, then you are committing a great bad karma.
The second point is that, you know, I agree totally about your thing about killing, but if I'm attacked and my family's in danger and I kill, and you know, I have to kill it, because of that, I don't consider that.
Caring, sharing, yeah. Giving, these are beautiful words. You have to do all that for your family, for everyone in general. You have to. It's not that we say we don't. We also do. No, why not we do? But then attachment is like possessiveness. The possessiveness is something wrong, no? You're giving sorrow to her if you are really, you know, possessing her.
And I think the third point...
Love is a beautiful word. Have love for everyone. You have love for her too. She's a very special soul. Have love for her. But I am everything and you must do as I do, then that is wrong. No? Give her her own independence too. That is a true love. Pardon? To kill them. I didn't get it.
Okay, no. So, I'm at home, somebody comes in with a gun, tries to kill me and my family, I then react and kill them with a gun. To me, that's self-defense.
Of course. Yeah. That you can do. Why not?
Yes. Yeah.
Why not? Who's stopping you?
Yeah.
So why not? That is a facing a situation.
Yeah. The third thing is that danger, always worried about, you know, your health and everything else. But then you don't live. I mean, yesterday, for example, you know, we climbed up on the mountain. So they said there were snakes and bears. But for me, the risk is worth the enjoyment. It gives me good health to do that.
So you're not able to get there.
Okay. Anyway.
Anybody can understand what you're saying? Anybody wants to say what he said? Maybe the accent is different. I'm not able to get you, brother.
I think he was just saying that...
Who's saying? Please stand up.
I think he was just saying that...
Please, raise.
I think he was just saying that sometimes it's worth risking, taking health risks to feel free or to do things that really inspire you. I think that was.
Hmm?
I think that was just a point. I had two questions. One is, when the soul You say it's individual. When, in between births, does it merge back into a universal, or does it remain?
No,
and
no.
Is that same one going through all the incarnations, or does it merge into the collective, and then, I'm not quite sure how
no,
that works.
If the soul is eternal. Every soul is eternal. The soul is never created, it never gets destroyed.
But is it, if I was to say my soul, I get confused sometimes through the incarnations. If my other incarnations, I stayed the same soul, and therefore my karmic account arose because I'm separate from other souls, or is it that I merge back into the universal?
No, no, no. You will remain as a soul. You don't merge in anything. You are eternal.
So it remains separate.
As a soul, it remains separate. Yes.
The souls are all separate.
Yes, yes.
Separate
yes. All our souls
life.
Are separate entities. Because if you say merge, that means identity lost. No, it doesn't
so the identity remains.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Eternal.
So it never goes into a collective.
Mm-hmm. No, no, no.
Okay,
there's nothing like coming out and then going and merging again.
Thank
so
you.
All souls are eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible, and invisible.
Okay.
These five ins we understand.
Thank you. There's just one other question. Is there's a lot of talk right now, a lot of discussion of people doing family karmic work, that there's karma that has been coming down through families, and that they've had trauma in the family and it gets passed down, whether it be because of wars in various things or suffering from
mm-hmm.
various levels, and that people are trying to heal their family karma, or maybe it's a collective, maybe there's a tribe or there's a group of people who've suffered a lot. What do you think of that in terms of, could you comment?
See, if you really go to see whatever is happening in this world, whatever is happening, it's all a part of a drama. You go to watch a film. How do you watch that film? Scenes come and scenes go. And all these scenes have some reason to come. And then after that, another scene comes. And they're gone. So in this world drama, everything is eternal. Everything is eternal. We say three things are eternal to understand. One is the soul, the second is the supreme soul, and the third is this cycle, the drama. It is eternal. And when you understand it's eternal, there's never nearly any sorrow for having lost anything. First of all, whatever you had, you didn't have before, and you're not going to remain forever. So where's the question of any sorrow? An actor comes on a stage and plays his role. He has a table, a chair, and you know, very good comfort, everything. And then his role is over. Then, will he get attached to what he was using on the stage? If he gets attached, then he experiences sorrow. If all the other actors who are working with him, playing their roles on the stage, if he gets attached to them, then also there is sorrow. But each one has to play his role in the best way possible and not interfere in anyone else's role, because that one has his own role to play. So if I am playing my role well and I am a detached observer of everyone else's roles without questioning, without really being surprised, without any sorrow, without any stress, without any worries, then without any fear, then I can be a very, very contented, peaceful soul. And that's what I have to be. Just play your role in the best way possible. Sometimes I ask a question, why are we on this earth? Why are we in this world? What is the reason? What's the purpose of life? Have you ever asked ourselves, what is the purpose of life? We say there are three reasons why God has sent us on this earth. Three reasons. Ask yourself, am I fulfilling those three reasons? One reason is, one purpose is, I as a soul have come here on this world drama stage. So let me play my role in the best way possible. Let me be a good husband. Let me be a good wife. Let me be a good child. Let me be a good mother. Let me be a good father. Because that's my role at this moment. And in front of everybody else, we are playing different roles. In front of my mother, I am a child. In front of my child, I am a mother. So again, a different role. So play your best role in the role in the best way possible. Whatever role you have, whenever, wherever, in front of whomever. Let it be with the good vibrations. Let it be with the good feelings. Let it be with good thoughts. Let it be with a good attitude. Because that would be good karma. This is one reason why we are here. Second reason is, I am a peaceful soul, a loving soul, a beautiful soul. So through my thoughts, words and actions, I meant only to give that. That's all. I've come in this world to give, not to take. Each one has come to give. That's why we are humans, are greatest creation of God. Like God is a bestower, so I'm also a bestower, giving. And whatever I give, I'll get back. So always have this thought, I have to give good wishes, I have to give peace, I have to give love, I have to give happiness. I have to give. I should never think of, I have to take, I have to take, I have to take. No. If you have this thought, I have to take, you'll become a beggar. And if you say, I have to give, you'll become a bestower. What do you like to become? There's a very interesting joke on this. Somebody told God, God, my wish is that I should always be getting and getting and getting and getting. And somebody else told God, God, I should be always giving and giving and giving and giving. And you know, God made that one who said, I want to just keep on taking and taking, and He made him a beggar. And the one who said, I want to keep on giving and giving and giving, He made him a very rich man so that he could give. He could give, he could share, he could share. So what do you want to become? Take, 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 or give, give, give. And what to give? Whatever the qualities of the soul are, that's what I have to give, give. Whatever the other person may be like, that's his karma. I cannot do anything about that. That's his karma. But what I have to do, that I have to check. That's only then you can lead a peaceful life. And the third reason why I'm here, whatever I do, I have to think at that moment, this should glorify God. This purpose of coming into this world is to glorify that Supreme who has sent me into this world. Am I glorifying God for whatever I'm thinking or saying or doing? Is it really glorifying God? If it's not, then maybe it's not right. I'm not here just for my name or fame or prestige or my honor. It's not just me. How much am I doing it for that Supreme Being's honor? That's what my life is meant for. Because if I say for me again, wanting, 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 wanting. But giving, 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 just like God is a bestower. So I will never lose anything if I'm giving. Now I've been sharing whatever with you for one hour. But am I really losing anything? No, I've gained so much. And you've also gained, but whatever you have, you will now share with others. So you'll gain more and more. Nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Isn't it? This is how we understand. Big heart. High feelings. Great respect for all, come what may. But yes, where karma is concerned, I have to also check. That's why I said, if money lost, nothing lost. Some karmic account finished, okay, doesn't matter. Health lost, something lost. Character lost, everything lost. If somebody is after my character, I will not spare that one. I will fight back. Why not? I will not spare because I don't want to lose my character. This is how we understand it. If somebody comes with a gun in front of you and says, come on, give all what you have with you in your pocket, your husband, you better give. Don't fight with him, otherwise he'll kill you. Life is more precious than the wealth. The wealth will come again. So don't fight with him. Give him if he's saying. But if he's after your character, never mind if you have to die also, but don't give him your character. This is all, understand. You know, I think God, this brother, if I've understood something of what he was saying, don't give your character. My character is very important. And sometimes, you know, we say even little, we go higher than this. If we are in that meditative state, and if we are having a connection with God, that Supreme Being, we get so much power at that moment. That person who has bad intentions, his intentions will also change. I've seen so many examples that people come with those bad intentions, and when they see that person, you know, in so much light, immediately they get so frightened, they can't even approach or come closer to that person. This is how they experience. Because we become so soul conscious and God conscious, God protects us. Really, it's a wonderful experience if you really want to know all this. Wonderful experience. So what we say is, you keep your defensive weapon with you all the time. Your defensive shield should be with you all the time, so that you are not attacked by any form of evil or you know, bad karma of somebody. Be very, very protective with yourself. Become soul conscious. You have seen a tortoise? What does a tortoise do? When it wants to walk, it takes out its limbs. If it doesn't want to walk, it withdraws. Because it has a hard shell above it, that is a defense, its protective shield. So my meditation will be my protective shield. And I can become soul conscious in 1 second, and I'm able to be away from anything which is wrong or sinful or maybe vicious or whatever, because I'm a peaceful, loving, blissful soul. And that person will get those vibrations of my peace and love and all the goodness, and his attitude will also change. We can change that person's attitude. But if he's not able to change, okay, I have to be defensive. Why not? So if I'm attacking, it's not attack, it's defense. You have to understand the difference between attacking and defending. Yes, brother? You want to say something? Yeah, behind.
Sorry. You want to say? Could you help me? Меня зовут Александр. У меня 5 детей, и я первый год знаний. Вот это не вопрос, это комментарий. Диди очень корректно ответила мужчине про влечение к жене. У меня 15-летний, разница в возрасте с женой, очень молодая, красивая. И когда я по-настоящему вспомнил, что я душа, я перестал заниматься с ней сексом. И для нее было это окей.
You're understanding, right? That's Russian. Okay? No translation needed? Right. So.
Tell me.
Okay. So he's saying that one of the questions was about this attraction of physical attraction. So he would like just to comment rather than to ask a question, that he is a father of 5 children, and he has a young wife, and a big change happened in his life as he came to know that he is a soul and his wife is also a soul.
И вот тогда мы стали по-настоящему счастливы.
And I can say that now, when that attitude, previous physical attitude has changed, and I truly respect my wife as a personality, as a soul, now we are both truly happy.
Yes, true. That's it. Clap.
And she also wants to ask one question. She is also from Russia. She is going to speak Russian.
Во-первых, я хочу очень поблагодарить вас. Я внимательно слушала каждое ваше слово, и мне было все понятно. У меня нет вопросов, я вас только могу благодарить. Но сегодня у меня день рождения, и сегодня друзья сделали мне такой праздник, что я до сих пор плачу от счастья. И у меня столько душа переполнилась счастьем, я хочу всем подарить кусочек счастья. Будьте счастливы. Нужно быть терпимым.
No, that's clear, right? That's also not a question, actually. I feel that you have answered all my questions regarding karma, and I just feel fascinated with this topic and the clarity and the depth of this knowledge, and why I came here and took this mic, because today is my birthday, and Didi, you were saying that it should be the principle of our life, giving, giving, and giving, and this is the principle of my life, and I want to share with every one of you a bit of my happiness, so please accept that. She is 81.
Я воспитываю, я педагог, я воспитываю подростков, которые самые трудные, которые несчастные дети. И я ищу у них хотя бы один положительный элемент, один что-то в характере, которое сохранилось неозлобленное, и развиваю это. И они все становятся такими же добрыми и успешными.
And my secret is that I'm a teacher, and I work with a very difficult teenagers and children who need lots of care and lots of love. Other people, they see their defects. Other people, they blame them. But I always try to see their specialities. And through this, I help them to grow their specialities. And they become really brilliant. So that is what I give to them and what comes back to me as the fruit of karma.
Yes.
And one more question in Russian.
Есть люди, которые совершают серьезные преступления против, например, детей или всего человечества, и остаются безнаказанными. Какие мысли я должна у себя создавать в отношении этих людей?
So the question is that there are people who commit very serious crimes, either against children or against humanity. Mankind, so, and sometimes they go unpunished. And so what should be my feelings in respect of such people who did lots of very cruel, bad things towards children, towards people, and they left unpunished?
Well, I should say... Okay. 1 minute, I'll just reply... Actually, no one is really bad. No one. Even a murderer, even a killer, even a terrorist. No one is really bad. Because after all, each one is a soul. But then, what is important is that the need to change the thinking, change the belief system. He's under influence, and that influence is making him have those evil thoughts. And if I am able to really give the pure thoughts to that person, he can change. See, even if he's a murderer, he has killed somebody, but when he goes home, he has his own small child. Will he kill that child? No, he'll give love to that child. So internally, he's not bad. He gives love to the child. Otherwise, if he's really a killer, he will kill the child also. No, he's killing everybody. No, he will love his child. So love is his real nature. But because of that moment, that aggravation or whatever, he did that action. And after committing that action, I'm sure there must have been a great repentance also. Because that's not what his real sanskar is, or the real thinking is, or real belief is. Somebody gets angry, so loudly he speaks, but after some time he will calm down. And then he may also feel, oh, I should not have got so much angry. Because really he's not bad. No one is really bad in this world. So to think that somebody is bad is a wrong feeling at all. Because we're all children of God anyway. But even if somebody is at this moment, my good thoughts, my good feelings can change that person. You know, many people share their experiences. They did such bad karma in their life. But when they came in this knowledge, they changed themselves. Now they are completely changed. They had such bad habits, but now they feel they are different. Actually, they are that pure souls. But because they are unaware, that is why they are not able to really feel that. Now when the awareness comes, the feeling comes, then they accept that and then behave accordingly. So our good qualities are sleeping in us. We have to awaken them. And the one who is not able to feel that, because those good qualities are still sleeping, so he can awaken them through meditation. Ultimately, we have to really change ourselves, because we say that no soul can return to the soul world without purification. Every soul has to become pure to return home. They'll have to go to the original stage to return home to that soul world. Yes? You want to say something? Okay.
Om Shanti, Sinster. I just want to expand on this a little bit further. You said earlier that if someone tries to give you sorrow, you don't have to accept it. But I'm struggling a little bit with believing in moments of attack. So just on what you were saying there earlier, if someone is attacking you or someone is raping, I think in that moment, it's so hard to change someone in that moment. And also, how can you not accept the sorrow? How does it not affect you? Because I feel like it's something that affects you on such a soul level. And I just want to hear your thoughts on that, because I agree with the fact that if someone is talking to you badly or something, then you should not accept that sorrow. But when it's something that's an attack on you and that's so intimate, for example, like rape, how can you not? And how, I mean, I just struggle with that belief.
No, you can definitely struggle. Why not?
But the sorrow. Like, you know, because sometimes as a woman,
but
you're
at
not
that time,
as strong.
Let me tell you, not take sorrow, not
man.
To take sorrow. But that time you can have the awareness. Who am I and whom do I belong to? I'm a soul and I'm then a powerful soul. I'm the child of the most powerful father. And at that time we say, remember Shiv Baba. And let me tell you how magic happens. Immediately that person will change his mind. His mind will change.
But I think that some people are so deep in the darkness that they won't feel the light. That they won't feel in
that
moment when
you... learn this meditation. We have to learn this meditation. Through this meditation, we learn that method of really becoming defensive and not feeling the sorrow and not really feeling the actions of the other person. How that shield, that, you know, meditation becomes like a shield for us to protect us. No one will even come closer to us, because soul consciousness helps in that.
So what are you saying in like a moment of attack, or if someone is, you know, what do you then feel you should just go within? Like,
No. You can fight back, and even if you have to die for it, don't give your character away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you learn meditation, let me say that how meditation helps you to give the pure vibrations to those souls, and even if they have bad intentions or bad vibrations, your pure good vibrations will stop them. It will become like a wall in front of them and they will not be able to do anything to you. That's what we say. Yeah. Okay. You want to say something?
I want to know if we can reduce the impact of our negative karmic account through meditation.
You can reduce. by having good wishes.
Okay, like before this knowledge, we have done some actions or thoughts that were negative, and now we are aware of it. But can we reduce the karma through meditation?
Of course, yes. Through meditation, now I change my thoughts and I start whatever karma I have with somebody which has led to maybe hurt or sorrow or ill feelings or whatever, anger and hatred, I can change by seeing that soul as a peaceful, loving soul. So if I'm able to send good vibrations, the vibrations will affect that one, and that one also will send good vibrations, so we can again finish the past. It's possible. It is possible. But for that, I have to change first. Don't expect the other one to change.
Om Shanti, sister. I've got a question, just adding on to her question. If someone tries to kill my family.
Someone tries to?
Kill my family.
Kill
and kill my family. Some person comes, try to kill my family. I take my gun out and shoot that person. So is there a destiny or karma? That is my
he shoots or you shoot?
Yeah, I killed someone to protect my family.
You kill someone to protect your family?
Yeah. So would that be a destiny or karma?
No, it's a destiny, no? Because...
Wo kya naya karma bana mera? Ki wo uski destiny thi that meant to happen?
It's destiny. It's destiny. Karma was his, no? And then he met his destiny of his karma.
Mera kuch naya karma banta hai in
maybe this. Some karma of yours with the past, and that's finished. It can be that way.
Okay.
But finished is finished. Don't even think about it then.
And another thing is, we say when we sit in meditation, we can negate our bad karmas. But then on the other hand, we say if we do bad karma, that has to come in any form.
Well, you can dilute that bad karma through meditation. Why not? Because then if you are creating the good thoughts, and then automatically you are changing that person also, so you are diluting your bad karma. And this way, ultimately, Baba says, through meditation, you can also finish your bad karma. Your sinful past, you can finish that too.
So if I have thrown a black ball, there is a chance with if I
but
do
you
the
give the white ball. No, you send the white
if
ball.
If I sent the black ball in the past, say.
So, never mind, but now you forget the past. Why should you remember the past? Now be in the present. No?
If I did the black ball in previous births, so am I getting the black ball back? Or if I sit in a meditation every
even
day?
Even if the black ball comes, don't take it, no? Don't take the black ball. It's up to you to not take the black ball. No.
But that will certainly come even though I'm doing meditation
every
day.
Even if it comes, doesn't matter. But you don't take it. You are more powerful than that black ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, we have to finish.
Brother's question is, would you give me a method so if I sow one seed, I get hundreds of fruits?
Hundreds of fruits?
Fruits.
I gave the example, no, you just make a little sound and the echo comes back to you. So my good karma, and now, you know, very often we say, now we are doing some charity, okay? I do some charity, but then charity is a good action. But then we say that the one to the one whom I'm giving charity, if he's not the right person, then my action will not be a charity. It will not be a charity, you know. It's like the soil is not fertile enough for the seed to really bear fruit. So I have to make sure to whom I'm giving charity. And the second thing is that I should not have that ego whilst I'm giving charity. If I have ego, then I cannot make it a charitable action. So two things for earning for many fruits. One is do everything in the action in a soul conscious state, in the remembrance of God. Tell him that. You understand?
Yeah, the translation is
okay,
going
okay.
on. Yeah.
Do every action in a soul conscious stage. for good fruit, many fruits to come, do every action in a soul conscious stage, and secondly, without any ego, and thirdly, leave the fruit to God to decide. You don't have to think of the fruit. You just do the right actions. In a soul conscious attitude, with the right feelings, pure feelings, and leave the rest to God. But if you are body conscious, some ego, some, you know, that thought that I should get a return soon, 100 fruits for that one seed, then this fruit will never come. You just give the result to God to take care of. You don't think of the result. You just do the good karma. Then the 100-fold fruit will come. But if you think of the fruit beforehand, then no fruit will come. Understand?
Okay. Yeah, and his second question is, what if I'm dishonest to my wife? Is it a bad karma also?
Definitely it's a bad karma. You should not be dishonest to your wife. Rather, you should not be dishonest with anyone. We have to be truthful because truth is a very big virtue.
شما در سخنرانیتون فرمودید که اگه یه مادر بچه‌شو بکشه.
Speaking French. She's speaking French.
Persian. اگه یه مادر بچه‌شو بکشه کارما ایجاد میشه، ولی اگر که یه سرباز در جنگ بهش بگن که بکشه ایجاد نمیشه. در ادامه صحبتاتون در جای دیگه که فرمودید
She's telling in your conversation, I mean in your lecture, you were saying that if a mother kills a child is a sin, but if a soldier kills somebody in the military, that's not a sin.
If he kills the enemy, because he is fighting on the battlefield to kill the enemy, no? That's what his responsibility is. No, that's not what you said.
امکان داره که خب مسئولیتی که بهش واگذار شده در اثر تغییر افکارش بوده باشه، جو محیط بهش القا شده که کشته و اون باز برای خودش عذاب وجدانی درست میکنه که کارماست.
No, first let me explain about the soldier. See, that soldier, any killing is a sin, no doubt. But then he is killing that one to save, we say, 100 crores of people to save them. He is killing only one person. So even if that sinful action is there, but he is creating good karma for those 100,000 souls. So that bad karma will not come in the way at all, no? Because it is benefit for other souls. Now, if I kill my own child, what benefit is there for other souls? No, no. You understand? I hope she got it.
Excuse me. Jang shayad khodesh karmay dast jam'i bashe baraye ye guruh ke un sarbaz ejaze nadode. Doroste?
Sorry, can't understand.
Maybe the war is the collective karma, not for the soldiers.
Definitely war is a collective karma, no doubt. It is. You have to understand that. Now, don't worry about all those things. Think about yourself. What have I to do? Think in that way, okay? What I should do. Okay? I have to be soul conscious, I have to be God conscious, I have to keep giving my virtues to others, I have to have good wishes for everyone. This is important. Okay? And I'm creating good karma through that, and the fruit will be multi-million times more because God becomes my helper, my bestower, my protector, everything. Okay?
Okay.
Yes?
Hi. I want to talk about the past, about the guilt and the blame of things we did and we can't undo. I know it affects our karma, but it gives you stress and all the things you said before.
No, don't have to get stressed. You have done the karma, it's done. Only thing is now you can, first of all, if it's something little, okay, you can say sorry for it and and then make a determined thought not to repeat it, what else can you do?
But if it stays with you? But if it stays with you?
It stays because you can't give a full stop to your thoughts. So if we are able to give a full stop to our thoughts, then it will not stay with me. And in order to give a full stop, again, soul consciousness, God consciousness, giving all your weaknesses to God to take care of, and you become light.
Thank you.
Last one, we have to finish now.
Yes, I wish you to find out if it's possible that a bad character can be transferred to our children and our grandchildren. If I do something bad today, I commit a sin, can my children or my grandchildren inherit it?
Your children will learn from you. What you do, they will do, no? So you have to change yourself for that and then help them. Maybe if they're not listening to you, then maybe through your thoughts, you can give them vibrations and you can change them. That's the only thing you can do. And take, we say, through meditation, we do service to the mind. And how you take that power from God and then give that to their, your children, and how they also are able to change. Because maybe words will not change them, but your thoughts can change them. Actions also sometimes may not change. Words might not change them, but if you have powerful thoughts and you're taking that power from God and then giving to those souls, those your children, then they will definitely change. Let me tell you, it has happened. Miracles have happened, how they have changed. I give you an example, very interesting example. Please, sit, if you sit down. A very interesting example. One lady came to me. Her son was in bad company, used to drink and smoke and all the bad habits he had. So he would come home late, very late. And when he would come home, she would always get so angry with him and say, "Oh, go and die, go and die, go and die." You know, he would. The mother would say that to him. The father would not say anything. He would tell his wife, "Please don't say like it's not good to say. Don't say." But she used to get so angry, and she would tell him, "Go and die, go and die." And that stressed him, stressed her. So she didn't know what to do. So somebody told her, "Go and learn meditation. Go to the Brahma Kumaris, and you will learn meditation. Then you'll be able to, you know, free yourself from the stress." So she came, and I gave her the course and all that, and I taught her meditation. And then she gave her problem, told her problem to me about her son. I told her four things. First thing is, stop saying this. Stop. Don't say, "Go and die, go and die." Do you really want him to die? No, I don't want him to die. So if you don't want him to die, why do you say that? If you don't want something to happen, why do you say it? She said, "But I get so angry with him. He's not listening to me and this and that." I said, "If you don't want him to die, first thing is stop saying this. Can you do that? If you can't do it, then why will he stop? He won't stop if you can't stop. If you stop, then he will also stop." So she said, "Yes, I promise I will not say this to him." Then second thing I said, what you should do is, that the second thing is, can you think that he is God's child, not my child? Because my child, my means possessiveness, my means attachment, my means hold, my means like I am everything, you know. So can you think he's God's child? He's God's child because the attachment was in her, no? My child, why is he doing like that? Go and die. But you don't want him to die, then now don't think that he's your child. Whenever you see him, you think it's God's child. He's God's child. He's God's child. He's not my child. Because she was saying that she didn't have a son for many years, and she wanted a son, and she was praying to God, and how God gave him that son. So give her that son. So if I said God has given you this son, then why do you think that he's your son? You should think he's God's child. If you think he's God's child, then that will help you. Then your stress will not come. And the third thing is, can you give this problem to God to solve it instead of you wanting to solve that problem? Can you give this problem to God to solve because it is His child? Third thing. Fourth thing is, can you give Him the good wishes? He must be having some goodness in Him. No, it's not that He doesn't have any goodness in Him. Can you think of that goodness which is in Him and have those feelings of goodness which are already in Him? Those good wishes will work. Those good, good things which He has in His life, in which He has in Him, that will work and it will change Him. So four things you should do. First thing is, stop saying, go and die. Second thing is, consider Him to be God's child. Third thing is, give His the problem of Him changing to God to solve. You don't take this problem in your hand. Fourth thing is, you start giving Him the good wishes. Think of His goodness and start giving Him the good wishes. And then you write to me after 3 months and let me know the change that has come in Him. And she wrote, you know, after 3 months she wrote, this child has changed. Well, I asked, how did he change? She said, I don't know, she said, but he has changed. So I said, now come to Mount Abu and I would like to meet him. So the son came, you know, mother and son came to Mount Abu. Then I asked him, very interesting, I asked him, how did you change? You know what he replied? He said, because my mother changed. Did you understand? My mother changed. So mother changed and therefore I changed. Before she was not changing, go and die, this, that, fighting, getting angry, getting upset, and you know. So the whole house was in so much stress. So I said, I better go away and drink and all that will make me happy. That will make me peaceful. But when she changed, I said, okay, I will also now change. So I told the mother, now see, who was the real reason of stress? You, not the child. Okay, all right. Okay, Om Shanti.